The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said of him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Avendo visto che abbiamo due fratelli che non parlano inglese, dopo di predicare questa omelia breve, che ho promesso io, in una maniera breve, proverò a predicare un po' in italiano anche, ok? Va bene così.
Today's first reading and the gospel obviously speak to us about repentance and conversion, and certainly the story of Zacchaeus is very, very well known. I've been to the Holy Land seven times, and each time that we go to Jericho, I'm always amused because they have a tree there, a sycamore tree there, that they say Zacchaeus, this is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed on. Okay. I don't know if that's really true or not, but, you know, as you say in Italian, se non è vero, si ben provato, okay? If it ain't true, it ought to be. In any case, I will speak a little bit more about sycamore trees in a moment, but just a little bit about the movement of this story about Zacchaeus' conversion, because I think there's something for all of us, certainly for us as priests, because there's an urgency in Zacchaeus' conversion that perhaps sometimes we do not always perceive. So the first thing is to say that Jesus was going into Jericho. It's very likely that Jesus was fairly well known in Jericho, only because Jericho was a place where many of the Jews stopped on their way back and forth from Jerusalem and Galilee, because Jericho is just outside of Samaria. So there was this mountain ridge that the Jews would walk on in order to stay out of Samaritan territory, technically, so they would not be ritually impure. And then they would stop in Jericho, perhaps almost like what we would consider sort of like a rest stop. Okay. Now remember, Jericho is also important because Jericho factors in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Okay, so that factors in. So we certainly know that Jesus had that in mind. We also know that Jericho was very near the place where John the Baptist was baptizing, right, at the very beginning of the Gospels. And then again, it wasn't uncommon for Jews in general to stop through there. Now, in Jericho, we learn of this man named Zacchaeus. And we know two things about him, well, three things about him. One, he's a chief tax collector. Two, he's rich. And three, he's short. Okay? Now, these things are not unrelated insofar as all of these things represent obstacles to Zacchaeus' conversion. Right? They're, as we call it in Latin, and each of them represent an obex, an obstacle, okay, for him not to come to conversion. And so we know a lot about tax collectors. We certainly know that from the conversion of St. Matthew. It's likely that Zacchaeus was rich because he was a tax collector. Okay, it's rare that tax collectors came from money. Okay, that usually was the lot of people who were landed or aristocracy. But it's likely that Zacchaeus actually was rich precisely because he was corrupt. All right, so his corrupt practices, and again, he was not just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. Okay, so especially known, especially hated. All right, and there's lots of people in the town who probably were not happy in this particular moment. first his fellow tax collectors, because if he's the chief and he's going to go and, you know, change sides, if you like, come to conversion, what happens to their livelihood? Okay, who steps forward? Is there a power vacuum in the town? The second, of course, are the people who are very skeptical whether or not this is a very, very authentic conversion or not. I mean, this is someone who's trying to show bella figura in front of a big crowd, just to make himself, to ingratiate himself to the Lord. And then there's a whole issue as to whether or not, you know, is a conversion going to last? Is it going to happen? What would have Jesus's disciples been thinking? I mean, they had seen Matthew, and maybe they're thinking, look, one tax collector is good enough in the group, but do we have to have more of these guys? Okay? And then, of course, we certainly know the people who are critical of Zacchaeus, because, and they're critical of Jesus, because Jesus is going to go to Zacchaeus' house, and they say, this man is eating, this holy man, Jesus, is eating with a sinner, which is, of course, rendering him ritually impure. So the issue that Zacchaeus represents for us is this sense of urgency and a sense of tenacity about conversion. In other words, nowhere in the parable do you find Zacchaeus discouraged. Right? He's not going to be stopped. Nothing's going to stop him. I mean, he says, here's my chance. I'm going to go for it. And this is, I think, something that we all face in our own lives, right? I mean, there are, it's not that grace is ever lacking for us to have moments of conversion, but I think our perception of the moment can flounder, right? So there are moments in our lives when we perceive, you know, okay, the Lord is asking me now to go even deeper, right? Zacchaeus is not a passive convert. He's engaged, he's active, right? He's pursuing, he's chasing after Jesus. In fact, so much so that he anticipates the route that Jesus is going to take and he climbs a sycamore tree. So it's a good meditation for us, you know, where are the areas where the Lord is calling us to go deeper, to become a little bit more profound in our relationship with him, but then for some reason, there could be many different reasons that we sort of become passive. We become complacent. Or we say, I've given enough. It's enough. Okay? Zacchaeus, of course, does not operate in this paradigm. So that takes me finally then to the sycamore tree. And believe it or not, I actually looked some things up about sycamore trees before today's Mass. And I found some interesting things, which are not just fun facts, but I think they're hopefully insightful in regards to what this is all about. First of all, apparently, sycamore trees are not commonly found in the Holy Land. In fact, in Jericho, Jericho is very well known for palm trees. And in fact, one of the biggest exports still in Jericho to this day are palm dates, the fruit. Okay, and I've been there, I know, they sell them by the bushel every day. So the idea is that for some of the commentators, the sycamore represents an outsider, sort of foreign, a foreign tree, not a typical tree, not a tree that would be common, right? But one that sort of stands apart, which is, of course, part of what happens here with Zacchaeus, right? I mean, he does stand apart. And if there's any question as to whether or not his conversion is really authentic, well, he gets affirmation from Christ himself, right? I mean, the Lord who can read hearts, the Lord who is very critical of Pharisees who have tremendously great exterior shows but are internally corrupt, Jesus says, no, this guy, okay, Zacchaeus, is the real deal. The other thing about the tree that I found very interesting about sycamore trees is that we actually have a very important reference to the sycamore tree in the Old Testament from the book of the prophet Amos. When Amos in chapter 7 is called to become a prophet, he resists. And he describes himself, right, as a dresser of sycamore trees. Okay, so he farms sycamore trees. He takes care of sycamore trees. So apparently sycamore trees belong to the family of fig trees. They produce fig fruit. But the only problem with the sycamore fruit, in order for it to be edible, is that the dresser of the sycamore tree, when the fruits start to appear, have to go tree by tree by tree, branch by branch by branch, and they have to start inserting nails inside the fruit so that it grows correctly, okay, and it starts to produce the fruit it's supposed to. Okay, so there's two movements here. One is the prophet has to climb the tree. Zacchaeus has to climb the tree. In a few chapters in Luke's gospel, Jesus will climb a tree outside of Calvary. He who is the foreigner, he who is the outsider. And that in order for the tree to bear fruit, right, Amos has to pierce the fruit. Jesus himself will be pierced by the nails of the cross. So there's already a little bit of a foreshadowing going on there. So lest we overlook Zacchaeus and lest we overlook his conversion, might we take stock, especially in this month of All Saints, every single saint, to a man, woman, and child, had a Zacchaeus moment, right? That moment where the conversion becomes complete, where their commitment to our Lord becomes mature. And this is precisely what we see in this hero whose name we still have in Scripture today. So we pray today for the grace and through the intercession of the saints that we might have the ability to perceive the moments when we need to convert to him. Sia lodato Gesù Cristo, sempre sia lodato.